This is Off the Crossbar, your home for all things lacrosse. Here's your host, Teddy Jenner.
Oh, hi there. How are you? Been a while, hasn't it? It's been quite some time since you and I have chatted some lacrosse, and it's about time we start again, don't you think? It is the Off the Crossbar podcast. We are no longer a radio show. We have taken a leave of absence. We are allowing Jake Elliott and Brad Challoner to do the Vancouver radio thing. That's okay. They're in Vancouver. I'm not, so it's a little bit easier for them to do things. So I'm just going to sit here in the comfort of my Victoria estate, high above the ponds of Beacon Hill Park. And we'll chat some lacrosse. If you don't know, and you're new, my name is Teddy Jenner. This is the OTCB podcast, where we will talk everything, all things, and some things in the world of lacrosse, National Lacrosse League, Canadian Summer Ball, World Lacrosse, Outdoor, College, whatever it may be. Heck, we might even throw some poker in there if it has a relation to the game of lacrosse. But today, we need to catch up on some things. It's been a while, as I mentioned, and we've already had a weekend of games, a full slate of games, mind you, and every team has played at least once, which is awesome, because in years past, NLL opening weekend has maybe been two or three games, and not everybody got off on the same foot, same weekend, but kudos to the National Lacrosse League for having all nine teams get some action on opening weekend. Started Friday night at the casino. That's my name for the Mohegan Sun Arena, where the New England Black Wolves said, hey, we're not Philly anymore. We're the Black Wolves. And much like they've done in years past, beat the Buffalo Bandits in their home and season opener in front of a ruckus crowd at the casino. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Jamie Lincoln going to join us this week on the podcast. A member of the New England Black Wolves. We'll get his thoughts on the move. He wasn't in Philly last year, but we'll get his thoughts on the new arena, the new team, the new management structure, what it's like playing in a very oddly constructed arena, and what it was like to get that first win, because this is a team that, myself included, not a lot of people gave them much of a chance to even be a playoff team. I have them finishing last or second to last along with the Swarm, but after one weekend, I'm quite impressed with what the New England Black Wolves have brought to the table. Let's get some formalities out of the way. Again, my name is Teddy Jenner. This is the Off the Crossbar podcast. If you want to get a hold of me, you can email me, otcb@teamradio.ca, and one and only time, I'm on Twitter, @OffTheCrossbar. The week that was in the National Lacrosse League was ups and downs, highs and lows, goods and bads. But overall, as a fan of the game, as an alumni of the league, and now as a reporter, broadcaster, and odd-time critic, it was one heck of an opening weekend in the National Lacrosse League. And you just have to look at, if you just went based on the scores of the games, you got to be thoroughly impressed with what happened, because it was a fantastic weekend of lacrosse. And you have to think about what's going on with this league. A new team in New England. Vancouver's in their second year out west, trying to figure out if they can survive at the Langley Event Center, if it's going to work, if they're going to be able to get the fickle Vancouver fans to come in and support this lacrosse team. And the scores were, nobody thought we'd see what we saw in some of those games. Vancouver rattling off 11 straight against Calgary. Nobody thought that would happen. Colorado scoring 11 in the fourth quarter against Minnesota. This is a league where goals come in bunches, but not everybody thought they would come in bunches like that. There were 127 goals scored on opening weekend this weekend. I'm going to be honest, I haven't gone back and looked at other opening weekends, but in a weekend where all nine teams played, it's got to be the highest scoring opening weekend in NL history. Close to, if not the highest scoring weekend. It started Friday night at the casino where New England battled hard to beat Buffalo 12-8. And then Saturday, a full slate of games, four on the docket. A nail-biter between Buffalo and Edmonton, where Buffalo takes it 9-8. Right down to the wire, that one. Edmonton had a chance to tie it at the last second. Big save by Cause to keep Buffalo above water, get them to 500 on the year. Toronto goes into Rochester and beats the defending champions, the three-time defending champions from Rochester, 13-12. Casey Bearns with a game winner. Toronto was down in that game for most of it, I think 12-8 at one point, and they're able to battle back in the fourth quarter and take win over their arch rivals in what was a very, very emotional night. We'll talk about that in a quick minute here. Colorado goes into Minnesota and rattles off 11 in the fourth quarter to take that one 20-13. Junior, doing junior, 9 points on the night, including two shorthanded goals on the same shorthanded play. Colorado putting up their most, I think I read, the most amount of goals in a season opener, the most shorthanded goals, and the fastest two shorthanded goals, and a whole cast of other records they set on opening night for them, including goals in a quarter with 11. And then the marquee game, I'll call it marquee game because it was the TV game. Vancouver at Calgary on TSN. Vancouver down 9-7 at half. Rattle off 11 straight against the Roughnecks, the defending Western Conference champions, in a game that went completely opposite than what anybody thought. It was a very, I don't want to say it was a sloppy first half, but it wasn't a great and well-played first half, but Calgary was limiting the chances of Vancouver. Their offense was rolling, their defense was playing well, and then, you know, you could kind of sense something wasn't right when Kurt Malofsky, if you can, I'll see if I don't have the video wherewithal to record Kurt Malofsky's halftime speech or halftime interview on the TSN broadcast and then post it on the web, on the internet. I might. I'll try. I'll see if I can get some people to help me, but I'll try. But he was fired up. He wasn't happy with his 5-on-5 play. He was straight up mouse. Let's just put it that way. And as I tweeted, for those people watching that had no idea the intensity that Kurt Malofsky brings, they quickly realized it when they saw that interview. And I didn't think Calgary was playing bad. They were limiting the quality scoring opportunities from the stealth, but their transition game wasn't as speedy as we thought. Their 5-on-5 play was somewhat scattered, but they were leading, and they were looking solid, and then they came out for the second half just dead flat. And as mentioned, Vancouver reels off 11 straight, and they take it 18-14 in what was a very emotional game, again, for both these clubs. It was an emotional weekend for everybody. And it's hard at times to talk about death, and it's hard sometimes to talk about losing loved ones. But what lacrosse has gone through in the past 2 months has been something I've never seen before. And it still hurts to think that some amazing people have left us far too soon. Terry Sanderson, Chris Hall, Jim Jennings, Dave Pierog, Mark Evans, and of course, Tucker Williams. And then most recently, the night before this whole league started, to hear the passing of Wendy Keenan, the wife of Derek Keenan. Sometimes it's just hard to put words together to express how we feel. But straight up, it sucks. And we all mourn differently, and we all deal with loss differently. But lacrosse was given to us by the Creator to help during times of sadness, during times of loss, during times of sickness, and it was a game that was called the Medicine Game. And it was to help people when they were sick and to help tribes deal when people in their family were ill. And there was nothing better the lacrosse community could do and the lacrosse family could do was to get right back on the floor and do what we do. And you look at the emotion that had to have been for the guys in Toronto playing for Terry Sanderson. They have the T patch on their jerseys. For the Buffalo family and the Edmonton family to play on Saturday night with the loss of Wendy Keenan, the loss of Tucker Williams. For Vancouver and Calgary to go out and play for Chris Hall. Chris Hall led both those organizations to NLL titles. To have a former commissioner, Jim Jennings, pass away, like it's unfathomable to see what we have gone through. But I'm so proud of every single lacrosse player that put it on the line this weekend, knowing how much emotion and how much feelings were involved in those games. And for Toronto to pull that win out, you knew T was smiling. For Vancouver and Calgary to put on a exhibition that they did, you knew CH was up there smiling. For Jim Jennings to be able to watch a league that he really helped mold and create to what it is now, has to be smiling. It's never easy to lose somebody. But I think it's more important to celebrate them by doing what we do best, and that's playing this amazing game of lacrosse. It's never easy shifting gears, but we must. And we must carry on and continue with what we do. So, one of the players that was involved in opening night in the National Lacrosse League was a friend of the show. And we'd like to bring him out. If he were to be a WWE wrestler, I kind of think this might be his intro song. That's right. I like the talent. Nasty. Nasty voice. As mentioned, joining us on the show, that is Janet Jackson's Nasty Boys. And our next guest is a frequent member of the show. He's been on before. He is Jamie Lincoln of the 1-0 New England Black Wolves. Link Nasty, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm super fantastic. How does it feel to be 1-0 with a brand new team?
You know what? It's great. You know, the organization, they treat us really well. We got a real nice venue. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts that we had to figure out being our first game. But you know, you can't complain about a W, and you know, I can't complain about being here and playing again and all that kind of stuff. So it's all good.
Let's talk about the organization to start. When you got brought on, obviously there's a lot of unknowns with going to a brand new team. You don't know how things are going to work. You don't, like, heck, I didn't even know who your GM was until he did an interview with a local TV station a couple weeks ago. I didn't know that Joel White was your captain until I saw the opening face-off at the start of the game. So there's obviously, like you said, a lot of moving parts and a lot of unknowns. But have they taken care of you guys since you've become a part of this franchise?
You know what? That's probably the number one thing that they pride themselves on is treating us properly and letting us, you know, prepare for our games and have the best opportunity to win every weekend. And to be honest with you, it's tough self-treatment. If anybody that's been to our venue, you know, the practice facility, the game, the food, everything's all in one place. You literally don't step outside the door.
Awesome.
And it's really easy to you know, focus on the game and getting things done where you don't have to worry about, you know, shuttles and, you know, travel time and where you're going to practice. Sometimes the practice facilities aren't the greatest. So, you know, it's nice to have everything really centralized and, you know, being able to focus. And so far, so good. And we just got to keep it rolling.
So you guys, you're actually like the hotel you stay at, your practice and your meals and the game all in the Mohegan Sun Casino?
All in the Mohegan Sun. It's legit. It's probably one of the, you know, best I've been treated since I've been in this league. And, probably, you know, oh, New England Black Wolves, they don't know who we are,
yeah.
you know, where we play, anything about us. But it's the real deal, and it's not, you know, it's not something that we take lightly. You know, we want to work hard and put our best effort forward.
Absolutely.
Because they're treating us, you know, how they do. I personally can't complain one bit.
Yeah. So the casino could eventually be one of the hottest destinations for a road team.
Yeah, possibly. There's definitely a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
Obviously, once the game's over and, you know, you get a W, then, you know, that place really turns into a different kind of venue.
I bet.
So, you know, you got the casino, you got, you know, 30-plus restaurants,
wow.
you know, bars,
yeah.
shopping, you know, it's kind of, the list goes on.
So
and, it definitely could be a nice away spot to land.
There could be a lot of missing players the next morning for flights.
Yeah, you never know, right? You never know.
If the NLL ever wants to go to Vegas, this is a good starting point, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If it, you know, if it pops off here, why let another
why not?
You know, as long as we're playing, we put a, you know, put some good entertainment out there. You know, people, you know, in a casino, that's what they want,
yeah.
and we want to give them another reason to entertain. And, you know, there's concerts, it's crazy. I think Justin Timberlake and Usher and all these guys were there the last few weeks. And, you know, obviously when we're playing and in training camp, we can't go to those things. But,
yeah.
you know, the place is rocking and it's full of people all the time.
Talk about the place was rocking. There was about 1,200 shy of a sellout for your home opener. It's not exactly the most conducive seating arrangement for a lacrosse environment. There was the one goal Patty Saunders scores, and he goes to jump in the glass, and there's just an empty bank of folded up seats. So it kind of takes away from the atmosphere, but it is, all the fans are pretty much like right on top of the rink. There's little club boxes right against the boards on the penalty box side. Like there's some pretty interesting seats, but it's not conducive in your normal lacrosse layout. But how is the atmosphere in there when the crowd's going and the intensity's up?
You know, it was great. To be honest with you, obviously it's a smaller venue. I'm not sure exactly how many it sits, but you know, it seemed almost. You know, I was rammed. So, you know, obviously they weren't really sure what they were expecting. I'm sure there's a lot of new fans, people that maybe haven't even seen Box Across before. And it was a little bit, you know, at times it was kind of like, what's going on? And then they kind of realized, you know, this game is fun to watch. And by the end it was, you know, they were pumped. Obviously we came out on top. And, you know, really at the end of the day, fans want to see W's. And we just want to keep giving them to them. So, you know. Overall, it is a little bit different. They're kind of working with how they're going to, you know, they have some sort of accordion seating.
Yeah.
So the seats come out only a certain way. So that one side is kind of like a party a party pit or whatever. And, it, you know, it sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
If you want to come out, you'd have to look into the prices and stuff. But, you know, they're definitely thinking, you know, outside the box and getting people in there, giving them a reason to, you know, want to come watch us. And, you know, so far it's been, you know, a great turnout, and I don't see why it would be any better moving forward.
This is the Off the Crossbar podcast with Jamie Lincoln of the New England Black Wolves. You don't exactly have an easy commute to New England. How many planes did you have to take?
Actually, I've been pretty good. We fly into Hartford, and Hartford's a connector, so I've had, you know, direct flights, and there's been a couple, you know, interesting connections, but, you know, that's part of the NLL grind, and you gotta do what you gotta do, and when we're there, we're treated top-notch, and, you know, to be honest with you, our flights have been pretty good, too. It is far, you know, it's about three, almost 4 hours by the time I get to the, you know, to the casino. So, you know, it's just one of those things that travel doesn't really bother me anymore. It's kind of just part of the gig.
That's actually some of the best times in the NLL is when you're sitting waiting in an airport, whether you're tossing a few back after or you're just sitting either putting a dollar bill out and playing games with people as they walk by that's
first
the airport
bag out,
the first bag out game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for people who don't know, the first bag out game is everyone throws in a buck or whatever you agree on and you all chip in, and whoever's bag is the first one down the conveyor belt wins all the cash. And it's pretty intense, especially when the bags don't come out first, when luggage from other people.
Especially
and
when it's,
What's that?
Definitely, especially when it's not your bag. It's always a little bit interesting to see how guys react. I've actually won a couple of those before, so it's nothing fancy, but it's definitely something to put on the resume.
Hey, Dave, $15 goes a long way when you're making per diem to stay on the road, right?
Of course.
How's our good buddy TK, Tracy Kluski, as a D coach?
You know what? TK's the man. I played in Peterborough with him, so we have a good relationship, a couple man cups, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, TK's kind of what you see is what you get, and, you know, he has his highs and lows. He's that guy to pump you up. He's that guy to, you know, kind of calm things down and, you know, give you a talk or whatever he needs to do. And, you know, he's always used to be, a D guy, O guy. Mm. He's kind of played it all, especially in the NOL. So he's, you know, it's not like a lot of people see him as an O guy these days. But, you know, if you know an offense, you know a defense. So he's, you know, he's doing a great job. And, you know, our coaching staff really does a good job at helping us compete and prepare for games. So, you know, I can't complain at all. It's been great right from the get-go.
Sometimes lacrosse comes easy. Talking's the hard part, right?
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't have that problem, I don't think. Another thing of playing here is probably when the Philadelphia Wings is probably the last team I didn't really know everyone, you know, in the league. So now that I'm on, now I'm here, I think I'm pretty much buddies with almost everybody in the league at this point. So it's always fun to meet new people and, you know, mix it up, and I'm not shy about social situations. So.
How is this group coming together? Because it's a big roster changeover from when they were in Philly. It's almost like a 75% changeover in the personnel. So it's a lot of new faces and a lot of getting to know guys. You guys come together pretty quickly?
You know what? I think we've done a good job. Obviously, you know, with our situation at the casino and everything being, you know, so centralized, we're always together. And, you know, it doesn't take long to really – you know, warm up to people. You know, the NOL is one of those leagues that, you know, if you're a lacrosse player and you have that common ground, it's usually not too hard to, you know, get along with people. But, you know, we've been doing a good job. Training camp, we've been working real hard, and I feel like our hard work has kind of fallen into our, you know, social side of the team where, you know, you enjoy competing against each other. And, you know, now that we get to do it against somebody else, you kind of sense it out on other teams. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's been really good. I can't complain, especially for someone that hasn't, I didn't know a whole lot of guys and hadn't played with a lot of guys. You know, personally, it's been a pretty good transition, but obviously it's first week, and we still got work to do, and we still got to get better, you know, as a team, and we even have to get tighter, as a group, so.
It was a nice win for you guys against Buffalo, a team that a lot of people are picking to be one of the top three teams in the East. But now you guys get to look forward to another week and another set of games, and you get to take on Rochester at home again. Playing the champs is never easy, but, you know, you got to start somewhere, right?
Absolutely. You know, every team in this, you know, is great in the NLL. It's, you know, you don't get a night off. You can get smoked by anybody. You know, whether you're one on the ranks or nine like we are or whatever, you got to show up and you got to compete. And, you know, being a nine, some people say it's an advantage because everyone's going to underestimate us. And, you know, we're just going to have to play our game. And it's kind of one of those leagues, if you don't really put it together and, you know, play as a team, it can go downhill pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
So, you know, every game you just got to go in and do what you can do to, you know, help your team win. And if everyone pulls their end of the rope, then, you know, you can come out on top and get W's.
You talked about the fans and their energy level. Afterwards, one of the great experiences of the NLL is that fan-player interaction. Were they fairly knowledgeable fans in New England? Because they probably don't know much about the indoor game.
Right. Obviously, they're a huge, you know, field lacrosse base, lacrosse community or whatever, but you know, lacrosse is lacrosse, and, you know, once you play enough or see enough, you kind of get the gist of it. I think there was a little bit of a transition during the game of kind of like, what's going on? What's a penalty? What's not a penalty?
All those
kind of things. So you could kind of tell they weren't really sure what was going on, especially with, you know, the presentation of the game, like it's a new arena, and, you know, we have the music blaring and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, things like that are tough on fans to kind of get used to. But, you know, by the end of the game, they were cheering loud. They were, you know, taking pictures and, you know, doing all the things that regular fans do.
Yeah.
So I feel like they picked it up no problem.
Speak with Jamie Lincoln a couple more minutes here before we let him go. One of the hottest trends in the world right now is Snapchat. And everybody
never
seems
heard
to,
of it.
No, you've never heard of it. I'm going to tell you what it
never
is.
Heard of it.
Never heard of it. It's basically
it.
An app where we get to show how much idiots we are and how crazy our lives are at the same time. But everyone does it differently. Logan Schuss has his grandma that everyone knows now is Grandma Schuss.
Yeah.
John Grant and Jamie Shuchuk like to put weird hats on their heads.
Yeah.
Nick Rose and Damon Edwards slam dunk Nerf hoops in their front yard and in their kitchen.
That's what we love today.
Yep. And you like to show everybody how awesome your kid is. And he is formerly known and forever will be known as the Beast. And he is a champion. What makes the Beast so awesome?
You know what? To be honest with you, as far as Snapchat, I'm just there, and he kind of makes the magic happen, and I kind of just, you know, put a little thought into something. But you know what? He obviously probably is the greatest thing that I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, happen to me, and you know, obviously, you know, if people that know me, I'm a pretty lighthearted, you know, fun guy, and you know, Snapchat kind of lets me be a little bit creative, and I use my son to. benefit it, or maybe he does. I'm not sure. But,
we all benefit from it. Let me tell you.
He's you know, he's the best.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. Obviously, everyone has their own bias about their kid, but he's just he's really easy to deal with, and he does funny things.
Yeah.
And I happen to thanks Snapchat. For,
it's like documenting your son's life, but no one's ever going to be able to see it again.
Some people don't even they've never even met him, but they feel like they're like his uncle or something like that. So it's kind of funny. People are like, man, it's really, I haven't seen you in like a year, but I don't feel like I haven't seen you in a year because I see you like 120 seconds a day or whatever
Yeah, it's awesome because we can have as much fun as we want and we can give you a glimpse. We can give you 10 seconds and you'll never get to see it again.
Exactly, except the people that run Snapchat are probably got some awesome archives.
Yeah, that would be awesome. If you had an archive of everybody's Snapchat, like that would that could be one of the biggest coups going right now.
Yeah, Snapchat might be a public TV show one day. Next thing you know, it's going to be a reality TV star or something.
The hair, on him when it goes,
Yeah, he's got some good lettuce. His mom's got it, though.
I know.
It should be a little... It should be in like a really thick hockey mullet right now, but she won't let me do it. Well,
he's got time to regrow that back.
Yeah.
And you got
time. A thick mullet, so I gotta,
yeah. That was a, you know, that was some serious.
Gotta have, every kid has had a thick mullet at some point in time.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
What else?
You're Canadian. I can't let him fall too far off the Canadian line. So.
Absolutely. Well, another rite of passage is booking your flights, packing your bags, and hoping you don't get stuck at another airport. Link, I appreciate you giving some time. Enjoy the weekend. Say hi to the boys for me. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
I will. Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
So there he is. That's Jamie Lincoln of the New England Black Wolves. Honestly, if you're on Snapchat and you know Jamie, you know exactly what we're talking about. Today, the Beast was napping. We were going to do the interview, but he decided to wake up, and I found out via Snapchat. Well, a couple texts, but also via Snapchat. Snapchat's awesome. I'm not going to lie. It is a fantastic way to keep up with the Joneses, as it were, but in a 11-second window. It's fantastic. I love it. Snapchat, don't go anywhere. We got to get going. This is going to be another busy weekend in the National Lacrosse League. It gets going on Saturday night. Four games on the schedule this weekend, as mentioned with when we were talking with Jamie. The Nighthawks go to the casino. And this could be a very interesting rivalry that might start building up. Just solely on the Native American ties. Kurt Stiers... the Wolf Pack of the Rochester Nighthawks going up against the Mohegan Sun and the Black Wolves. I really think this could be a budding rivalry if they do it properly. Later on, a couple hours later, Calgary at Colorado, which is always a fantastic matchup. Those two teams don't like each other. It's Colorado's home opener. Then Edmonton gets their home opener as the Swarm come to town. Big Brody McDonald will get a chance to possibly get a start against his former team. He got absolutely shelled against John Grant Jr. in the Colorado Mammoth last weekend. Still kind of confused of why they never pulled Brody McDonald once in that game. And then again, the marquee game, a TSN game, Toronto in Vancouver, East versus West. Two teams that have grown very familiar with each other over the past few years, meeting each other in NLL championship finals, and just always put on a great show. And when you get two Canadian teams battling, it's always a fantastic matchup. It's going to be a TSN game. It's going to be seen coast to coast in Canada and on ESPN3 in the United States. So tune in, set your PVRs, because you might see a familiar face. Just saying. But we got to get out of here. And before we, or when we go, again, you can find me, you can email me, otcb@teamradio.ca. One more time for the kids at home, at Off the Crossbar is where you can find me on Twitter. It was a emotional weekend in the National Lacrosse League, but everyone battled through. And in hard times and in tough times, we lean on our family to help us get through those times. So lacrosse family, I love you. I'm proud of you. And Chris, Jim, Terry, Tucker, Mark, Dave, and Wendy, and all of our brethren that we've lost over the years, we miss you, we love you, and we hope you're doing okay up there. Play on. We'll talk to you next time. Be excellent to each other.
And all I've got a lot on there. friend. In pictures and in songs, in the unmade bed you slept in, where I laid you down to rest one last time. Goodbye, dear friend.